We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
1 second. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper.
Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This episode is brought to you by Indeed and BetOnline. I am one of your hosts, Ty Windisch. I am here, as always, with my stupendous co-host, Rohan Kadi. We are here to talk about the NBA draft and some players that have been mocked to the Bucks and what we think about those players and what you need to know about those players, at least partially. Neither of us are full-time draft gurus or anything, but we've done a lot of reading, a lot of listening, and of course, a lot of talking. Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. I can't really complain with what's going on. You know, we have the NBA coming back very soon, which we have talked about previously, in the sense that now it is confirmed the Board of Governors has approved that the NBA is restarting on December 22nd, so I couldn't be better.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Just want to, just because it did break so recently, we should go over this quickly. This has all come out this week, early this week, but we have a lot of specifics now. We didn't have our inclination that it would start before Christmas is turned out to be correct. So here's Mark Stein at the Steinline on Twitter, helpfully laid out a calendar. So November 18th, a week from the day this drops, a week from Wednesday, is the NBA draft. 2 to 3 days, I'm seeing that 2 days more, so November 16th is when the trade window could open. So right now, no teams can make trades. They can talk about them. Like right now, apparently the Suns are talking about getting Chris Paul. Actually, I don't think they can negotiate. I'm unclear on that, but they can't make trades.
I think they can negotiate. They just can't finalize anything.
Yeah, so but I guess they can, according to this report. But yeah, the Suns are talking to OKC about Chris Paul. The Bucks Chris Paul dream, by the
well,
way.
Well, like the trade can't officially occur. Is
no,
what
it can't occur. Yeah. But I think the Bucks Chris Paul dream might be dead. But who knows? I wouldn't say 100%, but it's not feeling good. But anyway, that will be November 15th or 16th-ish when that window opens. And by the way, Zach Lowe today, I think, said on the Lowe post or whenever that dropped that like teams are itching to do deals. So whenever that day is, whenever it becomes official, it seems like it's going to be an exciting day.
Yeah. I mean, who isn't excited? Like GMs, they're just like us. Everyone wants transactions to occur. And I know we're going to be excited about it too.
We certainly are. So that'll be the 15th or 16th of November, it seems. Mm-hmm. Then the draft on the 18th. Free agency. They're doing this stupid window. I don't know, understand what the point of this is, but whatever. November 20th, they can start negotiating at 6 p.m. Like, I'm sure that is
moratorium.
Love a good moratorium. 2 full days. And then free agent signings can begin at 12:01 p.m. on November 22nd. December 1, training camps open. December 22, opening night. So we are just about there. We also have a salary cap, $109.1 million. Luxury tax, $132.7 million. The cap and tax will continue to go up by at least 3% year over year. They could go up a little bit more. And because of some BRI calculations, teams in the tax could end up paying less than they otherwise would for these next few seasons. So if you're looking for a reason that the Bucks should really not have any excuses to pay the tax in upcoming seasons, including this season, you've got another one.
Yeah, I think the tax is going to be reduced by the percentage of the basketball-related income that it has decreased from projections. So if the league is making less, like 30% less money than they usually would from BRI, then the luxury tax payment would only be 30% of what you're scheduled to pay, if I'm reading that correctly.
Yeah, I believe that is the case. And just one note, an important detail is like that the cap is confirmed that it'll at least go up by 3% and it won't drop or anything from this coming season to the next one. That's really important for, I mean, a lot of reasons, but one particular is Giannis' Supermax. One thing, and I'm not going to go deep into it here. I think we talked about it on the last pod when we had some news, but I think I just want to clear up. This year's cap didn't actually matter for Giannis' Supermax. He already is locked into his deal for this year. Next year's cap is what determines it. So if he signs the Supermax, can sign for 35% of the cap in year one. It'll be at least 3% higher than this year. So I did some math on Twitter like last week about a 2% raise, and that the first year was about $39 million. The whole deal was $228 million over 5 years. Just, again, ridiculous amount of money. The 3% probably means it'll be like 40-ish million in year one and progressively more over the whole deal. I don't know exactly, but suffice it to say, like, it's still very much an appetizing contract for him to consider. So a good thing there, I would say.
Oh, yeah, for sure. As long as there's no insane cap decreases, which I don't think was ever going to happen.
I did. It would have just, I've said this before, it would have broken how the league does business. Like, nothing would have happened. It would have been really ugly is what would have been the case.
Yeah, so regardless, we're going to get a massive Supermax possibility for Giannis. So yeah, that's nothing has changed in that regard. So it looks like things financially for the league are going to, in terms of like cap sheets, luxury tax and everything, it's going to remain around the same. Like nothing's going to drastically change.
Yeah, I've seen some speculation that big market teams are really the winners here because like they can afford these tax payments, and even if it's now cheaper or whatever else. Listen, you know, most NBA owners can afford it. Like, it's not like you need to
shout out Tillman Fertitta.
Yeah, that's why I had to say most. It's not like you need to be the Knicks or the Lakers to afford these. I think it's just a false dichotomy. I don't. It's even worse in baseball.
The Jazz just sold for $1.6
billion. I thought it was more. Is it just $1.6? I mean, that's still a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it was $1.6.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's a crazy. Well, what did the Bucks go for? Like 500? 500 million? Yeah, yeah, and that was like standard back then. Yeah, league's in a good place. Owners are making a lot of money. Everyone can afford it who really wants to. Also, except maybe Tillman Fertitta, but I digress. Okay, I think we've covered all the NBA stuff. It only took us about 5 minutes, which is really good for us.
Look at
us.
Are we ready to
move on to the draft?
I think we are.
I want you to start. I think you're a little bit more prepared than I am. But let's just bounce back and forth. I think the best format for this, and we'll intersperse talk in here of what we think the Bucks should look for, or like how specific that is, I guess will depend on both of our takes here. But let's just bounce around. Guys, you've seen mocked to the Bucks and how you feel about it. And we'll just kind of take turns shooting some back and forth.
Okay, so the first real mock draft we're going to be looking at here is the good old classic tankathon.com.
Oh, they have some fun ones.
They do. So just on their general NBA mock draft, they have to number 24 to Milwaukee, Desmond Bane, who I know you talked about previously. So yeah. One thing that just jumped off the page of me immediately with this guy is, unfortunately, that he is a four-year guy.
See, I don't find that. I actually look at that for this team as kind of a plus. I mean, I know there's this sentiment out there, and I see where it's coming from on Bucks Twitter of like, we as the team, the Royal We, need to find someone who can like prolong the Giannis dynasty, which, let me be clear, like, it's not the dynasty right now. They haven't won anything, but like someone who can play into making it one, basically, is. And like, yeah, of course you want that. But like, they have so many issues right now that these 4 year guys who they come out as obviously much more finished products, which means the ceiling, they're much closer to it. Sure. I mean, yeah, that's how it works. But that's how you find usually a Malcolm Brogdon like guy from pick 24 to 34 in this range. And I don't want to put that expectation on
I was going to say, is that not the absolute best case scenario?
It's not the absolute best case. I mean, there's Draymond Green, right? Like, Brogdon is like the probably second tier of great scenarios in that range. It's possible to find guys like that. And I think you give yourself a better chance on like the more stable prospects like a Desmond Bane. But I digress. Go on with your Desmond Bane thoughts.
So, I mean, it fits the mold of this team, or in the way that John Horst has sort of been drafting players in his limited sample, is that he's going for more experienced college guys. So this would sort of fit that mold. He is a 6'5 shooting guard out of TCU. In terms of positives, just immediately jumping out is his 3-point percentage. 44.2% from deep during his senior campaign. He had a true shooting of 57.3%, effective field goal percentage of 55.7%, solid assist to turnover ratio, 1.68. You're just getting a solid, steady shooter who doesn't really make a ton of mistakes, which I guess to your point about, having someone who can actually contribute right away, this is someone who could contribute right away in the Mike Budenholzer system.
I think you could probably comfortably slot him in, even before assuming like how many guys are probably leaving in free agency or trades or whatever. He's probably closer. Yeah, I'll say he's comfortably going to be closer to the top than the bottom of Milwaukee's group of guys at the 2 or 3 year one. Like, I could see him being better than Sterling, probably better than Pat Connaughton right out of the gate, or maybe not right out of the gate, but by the midway or home stretch of his rookie year. Like, there's just a lot of value in being able to comfortably add a guy who's like that. I actually am a little worried the Bucks won't be able to get him. So I was going to open with him to John Hollinger's mock draft at The Athletic today. Also had Desmond Bane going to the Bucks. So this is what he wrote. I'll just read part of it, but I got really excited when I read this. And I quote, "I keep having people tell me that Desmond Bane will move up, that he had the best interviews of any player in the draft, and he knows exactly what he is as a player. I'm buying it, and I may still have him too low here. I think this is closer to Bane's floor than his ceiling. It's easy to see him plugging into a role on a good team since he can shoot and pass and is willing to defend, even if his feet can be a bit heavy at times." End quote. Like, that sounds like exactly the kind of player you want slotting on this unsteady team that could really use like just more stable, capable two-way wing players. I should say small wing. He's 6'5", right? Like, I don't want him at the 3 a whole lot, but he sounds like a really good 2 for what the Bucks like to do.
Yeah, and it's more like the Bucks have had a problem in the sense that they had to play wing by who's really feeling hot, right?
Yeah.
So if you can find someone to, like you're saying, who is actually steady and reliable, that's perfect. So he would slip, you'd fit right in there. I'm actually talking myself into it right now. It'd be a good fit.
I just think he's good. And I think, like, in, especially in this draft, although I will say, like, I think I've seen some people kind of translate the concerns at the very top of this draft to the Bucks pick. It's actually the opposite. Like, it's a pretty bottom-heavy draft. There's a lot of players I think we're both going to end up getting pretty excited about just for the Bucks to draft exactly none of them at this range at the 24th
pick. Rashad Vaughn time.
There's a player who kind of gives me some Rashad Vaughn vibes. But anyway.
Oh, no.
I don't think he's going to be like that. But no, I think there's a lot of good options. But I just think still, like, there's always value if you really feel comfortably that, like, he's going to be a good wing player. And just one last note for me on Bane. If you keep around Wes Matthews, either as, you know, a sixth or seventh guy or as your fifth starter, whatever the case might be, I don't know if I can think of a better player for Bane to learn from for a year or two. Like, they're really very similar players. And I think that would be, like, if you want to really guarantee Bane's going to have a 10-year career, like, just say, hey, follow around Wes Matthews every day this season. Just do whatever he does. Maybe make some more threes than Wes. Maybe you might end up taking Wes's minutes at some point. Maybe not on a Bud team, but I digress. But yeah, I just think that would be a great foundation for him to build on in the league.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even think about that aspect of it, but yeah, that would be incredible. If you can get that sort of defensive tenacity out of a steady, reliable offensive player who's already, you know, sort of in a mold, that'd be great.
Yeah, and I think really, like, the heavy feet thing for me is not that much of a concern, just because I feel like we've seen wings who aren't, like, top-tier athletes but are, like, smart, tough, positional defenders, Wes Matthews, do really, really well in the box.
Yeah,
so,
and you've also seen, like, quick players who are just terrible defenders.
Exactly. And, like, there's such a...
It's not an indicator.
It's not. There's such a cushion of being on a Giannis team and probably a Brooke Lopez team that, like, if you're just smart and strong and stay enough in position, which it sounds like Desmond Bane is, like, a ideal, like, I'll slot into this system and just play kind of guy, which I love personally, is unless you're drafting for, like, a franchise player, that's one of the top things I look for. I think he'd do really well in the Bucks. I want to pivot to, I think, a much more exciting pick, but probably a riskier pick.
Okay, let's hear it.
I know this isn't going to shock you. I have one that's going to shock you. I think I'm going to save it for my next one. But as per Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, Cole Anthony, point guard, North Carolina. This is, like, I saw this, and I was honestly a little stunned. And I do think, although this is KOC's mock draft, not his big board, I think KOC kind of leans into his own evals more than info he may or may not get a lot. Like, I believe he's the only one outside of, like, you know, hardcore beatnik draft Twitter to have Killian Hayes number one overall as his first prospect. Not his first pick, but his first prospect. I don't think Cole Anthony, I don't think there's any way he slides to 24, but this is a crazy draft. It sounds like every pick is up for trades. Who knows? This would be, like, a wild, like, I can't remember.
It's actually, a pipe dream.
it's a pipe dream, and I feel like it'd probably be the most excited, like, just from, like, it'd probably be the first time the Bucks got somebody who a lot of people nationally, not just, like, you know, in a sense of, like, oh, that's a great pick at 24.
Like, there's a hype around them.
Yeah, like, probably the first since Don, right?
Honestly, that was
like
just...
Don
that
was like, Don was the had that kind of buzz. Like, this guy could be Kristaps Porzingis was the thing coming in.
You remember that video of Don just crossing a guy up in high school, knocking him down? I didn't realize that the guy he crossed up was Bam.
I didn't either. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, if they sign Thon, you're going to be over the moon.
Oh, my goodness. I'd bring him back, honestly, for the memes.
No. But Cole Anthony.
Why you got to hate on my dreams?
It's not personal, I promise. You're stupendous.
Yeah, Cole Anthony, though.
Just intriguing. A really good pick and roll player, which obviously that's like a... You know, heart eyes jump out of the face when I see a prospect because we've been looking for more dynamic or just different pick and roll players to work with Giannis. I'm a little worried. I don't know. Like, I don't know if I can trust his jumper. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I haven't dug super deep into Cole Anthony because, like, I was under the impression he's a lot more likely to go from 1 to 10 than he is from 10 to 20. And I just certainly don't think he falls past 20. But I don't know. There's certainly a lot of upside, though. Like, he could be a dynamic lead ball handler, which even if it's only a 33% chance he ends up as, like, a good starting guard, It's probably worth a swing if you're picking at 24.
Yeah, and he's got size. He's 6'3", has a plus wingspan. You're just, I don't know, if you can get someone who's, the ideal is a dynamic point guard who can shoot.
Yeah.
So the Bucks do currently have a dynamic point guard, just can't shoot. So if you can get the best of both worlds with also someone who's not going to be like an absolute like train wreck on defense, which is the opposite of Cole Anthony, you're hitting the lottery in terms of Bucks picks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it would be cool. And I guess he's probably a little bit better of a shooter than I gave him credit for being. I don't really
see it. He definitely has the confidence.
Yes. We'll see if it translates. Maybe it will. I don't have anything against Cole Anthony. I don't think he's going to be a Buck, though, after draft day. And I would not hold out a ton of hope for that if I were you. Unless the Bucks trade up, which who knows in this insane draft. I think the odds of that are very, very unlikely. I think they're going to rather trade stuff for guys already in the league. But yeah, I guess it'd be fun. But I think we agree, right? Like there's almost no shot that Cole Anthony's a Buck.
Probably. Yeah, probably not. He's too good.
His dad played for the Knicks and the Knicks pick at 8. So
math. I didn't know that.
Yeah, his dad's Greg Anthony, I believe.
Real? Am I that out of the loop?
Now I got to double check. I'm almost positive that's the case.
I might have known that. I just forgot it.
Let me see.
I feel like that's right.
I think I'm almost positive it's right. At least I saw that on Twitter. So if I got that wrong, that's somebody on Twitter's fault. Yeah, no, that is correct.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, the Knicks are going to nick.
Yeah,
they're either going to take former Knicks or CAA clients.
Cole Anthony raised and went to high school in New York. His dad played for the Knicks. Is his agent on here? Who is his agent? If his agent is CAA, I don't think it is. I think that would be a little bit too...
too on the nose.
Yeah, that would just be too obvious. But anyway, regardless, I don't think he falls, but I've said that a billion times anyway. So, I think XL. Yeah, he's signed to XL, so not CAA. Okay, who's your next one?
So the next mock draft I have pulled up here is by James Hamm over at NBC Sports. This one is a little biased because I like the pick here. It is at number 24 to Milwaukee, Jaden McDaniels out of Washington.
You're a big Jaden McDaniels guy.
I don't know why, but here we are. he's a big 6'10". He's 6'10", but 185. So... if you're thinking tall, lanky players who have potential, insane potential, but haven't really shown much to really, you know, prove that potential, they got to go to Milwaukee. I know John Hammond's not here anymore, but...
you want him to be Thon, but I think he's actually DJ Wilson.
Oh, no.
6'9 forward who supposedly can shoot. I rest my case, Your Honor.
See, when you put it like that,
I don't. He might be good. I'm leery of all the. He could be guys like all the time. I don't know. I'm cautious. I'm probably too cautious.
It's
picking
just
24.
You can have, like, in the sense that DJ Wilson's not going to get his own shot. You know.
Yeah, Jaden McDaniels is better at that, isn't he?
Yeah, he's more of a ball handler than DJ Wilson ever will be, even right now. The thing is, like, he's too small right now. So, but at least he has a perimeter shot to rely on. But if that doesn't translate, then you're sort of in Thon Maker territory.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's, I think a lot will depend both on the, like, the team he goes to and just how he, like, McDaniels himself kind of carries himself and as a pro, which is, you never know entirely how that's going to play out for guys. I will say, like, the upside of potentially one day having like a 3 of Chris Middleton, who's 6'8 with a 6 whatever wingspan, a 4 of Jaden McDaniels, who would need to put on a lot of weight, but 6'9 height, 7 foot basically wingspan now at age 19, and then Giannis, there's some potential there for sure. Like, it's certainly like he's the kind of He's got the kind of upside that makes you excited.
He's got the build to be like the ultimate NBA player in terms of like he can shoot. He has the skills to, work around the basket. It's just, can he realize all of that potential? Because if he does, then this will be the biggest deal in draft history.
It'll be a home run, basically.
Yes, but it's more like, can that actually happen?
And can the Bucks afford to take the risk? Which maybe they can. And part of it depends on who's there and who's not there.
Maybe this is a pick where you do, if you are this low and there's still a prospect on the board like McDaniels who can actually has the potential to, be a guy, that might be a prime opportunity to do so in such a weird draft.
That's true. That is
especially because he wouldn't, especially now, he wouldn't get like any playing time.
Yeah, you would.
So you would have time to develop, unlike Thon, who was like a starter his rookie year.
Yeah, the one complicating factor, it's not really feeling like we're gonna get a G League season.
That's what I was wondering.
A real one. I think that they're gonna do the select team and just like bring some loose free agents basically to scrimmage them. I don't think we're gonna see the Wisconsin Herd this season. That's not reporting. That's just like no one seems to know anything, but no one's heard anything yet. And given how the NBA is like adding extra sponsors and selling to gambling and liquor companies they didn't used to for sponsorships and all these things,
and they're gonna have ads on the court, right?
I think so. I don't think they're gonna then say let's pay all this money to have a G League season that frankly. The benefits are there, but not like overwhelming.
As long as you get Principal Singh on the select team,
he'll be there. He'll be there. Don't worry. Your son is there. But I think they might have extra like development roster spots, which that wouldn't apply to whoever the Bucks draft 24. But regardless, that does stink though for like a guy like McDaniels, who you might want to say like let's just put him in the Herd for 20 games and get him some reps,
especially with how the Herd has sort of transformed like from its. Yeah. Onset into like this just machine.
Guys got better there. Like Shannon Bogues is one player who's overseas right now and I think is like at the level right now where I would say a team should give him a two-way. Like I would certainly invest that much of a resource into him.
I think like the Herd has sort of transformed into that academy type role for the Bucks that most G League teams aspire to be.
Yeah.
So yeah. McDaniels would really, or probably other prospects who we're going to talk about, would really thrive with the Herd because you're getting that Bucks system without actually being on the Bucks. And it's just, it's probably not going to happen this year. But you have him for 8 years if you want him.
That's true. Yeah, that's very, very true. Unfortunately, it does seem like the G League could be taking a break. TBD, we'll find out. But sports also had a break, Rohan. Your business didn't, though. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help with that. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are zero long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer anywhere, folks, so go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Keep in mind, terms and conditions do apply. The offer is valid through December 31st. Speaking of breaks and waits, the wait is over. Football, folks, it's been back. And you might not be at a game this year, maybe you are, but you can certainly be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today as you are listening to this and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all those great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, for both of our terrific promo codes. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Are you ready to hear just a shocking mock?
Let me hear it.
I think we're both going to – well, actually, I'll probably be more gun-shy than you based on past events. But Colin Ward Henninger at CBS Sports. I should have brought my pronunciation guide. But the draft prospect known as Paku.
Okay.
Aleksej Pokusevski?
Yeah, I think that's
right. Ish. He's listed here as 7 foot tall. I thought he was taller, but 7 feet tall, 205 pounds. Colin, for what it's worth, has him as his 12th ranked prospect, but he had him falling to the draft. Doesn't look to be ready to play this season given his lower level competition and slight frame. So this would be more of a stash thing. Again, super not ideal to probably not have a hurt season, but certainly like the upside is there for, I mean, I kind of made the case when I laid out the Thon pick, but what are your thoughts on Paku though? Your actual, what are your real thoughts?
It's, I honestly, I have no idea what to make of this kid.
I'm out on him.
Okay. Personally. So it's, I don't know what to make of him because in what I've seen, in terms of my, again, limited exposure, there's been so much inconsistency. So much inconsistency. Like, there's obviously the potential is there, but he has less of a body of work than Jaden McDaniels does.
Yeah, certainly.
In sort of like a not quite as the same frame, but even lankier.
For what it's worth, the Ringer actually had McDaniels at 200 pounds, which I feel like is generous. But they have Paku at 1 pound heavier, at 201, at 7 feet tall.
Yeah, so add an extra 3 inches and 1 pound. I'm looking at the Ringer right now. Just the picture of his feet, just while he's trying to make a pass.
Very cockeyed.
It's just, I don't, he's gonna sink.
Here's my thing. Like, the best case is probably by the end-ish of his rookie deal, he's Bol Bol right now. Is it, you think that's fair?
Yeah, honestly.
Like, I think Bol Bol is, I think Bol Bol is a rotation player.
I think Bol Bol's better.
Oh, for sure better right now, yeah. I think, and I don't mean to be like, you know, completely closed-minded to any certain category of prospects or anything like that. I'm always a bit skeptical of the super tall guys. I just think it's really hard to play real consistent NBA minutes and have a role unless you're just really exceptional. It's just so difficult. I think Bol Bol is like one of the few guys who actually like is a real rotation player. Boban, who could not be any more different as a player than Paku, he's a real rotation player too.
But he actually has some substance.
Oh yeah, he's massive. Hey, he can bully anybody, and he's taller and a billion times stronger. And he works really hard. He's a great guy. Everything else, but Boban's awesome. But
who can hate Boban?
No one. Absolutely no one.
If you hate Boban, I hate you.
Facts. We both do. The Eurostep hates you if you hate Boban. But like, I don't know. I don't see the upside in like maybe this guy is Bol Bol, who again is like, I don't think Bol Bol is going to end up being an all-star someday. I think he's a capable player.
This guy might have the potential of a second-round pick.
That's
exactly, that's what you're saying.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. And maybe I'm selling him short. Maybe I'm not. Like, I think the comps here are hilarious because they have Detlef Schrempf, Lamar Odom, and Dragan Bender.
Lamar Odom.
The Lamar Odom one is awful.
Who was on a good Lakers team?
I just like they're so different to me. Like even Detlef, I feel like was a different player, and a lot more under control. I feel like than Paku. I don't know.
It's just I'm out.
I'm out. I would rather not.
Like you could say he was playing on what, the Olympiacos B team.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, it's the Giannis story. No. Just that's a one of one.
And I just like the way like his mechanics aren't very good. His energy isn't always there, which, I mean, I get. It's really hard to haul around a 7-foot frame. I just, like, at the bare minimum, I think for Paku to become a serviceable NBA player, he's going to have to completely overhaul his body, and I think how he plays probably on both ends. And that's just, like, so much. And yes, like, I mean, obviously I don't want to be negative here. You got to stay healthy, which is hard to do when you're a mobile 7-foot or any 7-foot guy. I'm out. If he falls to 24, I don't think you should go, oh, he's like, where is he on KOC's board? 12th? I think that's crazy.
He's 25th mocked in KOC's draft.
Yeah, I think putting him at 12 is just like the 2%, the very top percentile result. He's 12th, sure. Like, if you're factoring that in, I just like to be a realist with these picks. Like, I don't think you should go off of the top 1% outcome for a guy.
Mm-hmm. If Jaden McDaniels is getting zero playing time, getting negative minutes. No. Bud's going to make that a possibility.
No, yeah. So I don't see a route to him getting better.
Unless he goes and takes like a mid-season trip to Germany.
Some deer antler spray.
Yeah.
He needs a lot of muscle. Yeah, it's just going to be tough. I mean, we saw Giannis bulk up a crazy amount. And there's no comp here. There's no comp to Paku and Giannis. Yeah, no comp to anyone to Giannis. But is it possible that he bulks up? Yeah, but I personally don't see it. I think if he falls to 24, it's not like, oh, we have to take him because he's on some boards at 12. I think it's, he's falling for a reason, and like, let him go 40th.
And
or
if
whoever.
It's like if you're falling in the sense, like, if you're Milwaukee and he's like, oh, this supposedly high ranked prospect is falling, it's just like, think about it in terms of what you're gonna do with this team this season, and just there's absolutely no chance that he's getting playing time in a system where the center is the supposed to be the best defender on the floor.
And even like going forward in the future, I mean, he'd have to really become basically Porzingis, I think.
That's what I was going to say next. He'd have to be just a knockdown shooter.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know.
His handle would need to get better too.
Let's not destroy this guy all day. We're both out. I think honestly, if he's there at 24, if somebody really wants him, then trade down or trade out and get something.
Get
I'm
an
fine
asset.
With that.
Yeah.
Don't take Paku. One guy though, I will say, and it's your turn. I know. I still have some stuff fits for the Bucks I can talk about, but like, I think it's wild as an aside. At 12 is Paku on KOC's big board. 13 is Tyrese Maxey. I really like Tyrese Maxey.
Ooh,
I mean,
tell me why.
I just keep seeing the Kyle Lowry comps. Like, he's gritty, he's a winner, he knows how to play, he plays hard on both ends, he's clever. The jumper is not there yet. I think it'll get there. Like 83% from free throw on 120 attempts. Like, it just seems like all the knocks on him are like the lazy knocks that make guys like Lowry go under the radar until they develop a bit, and then they're really good. Like, top end quickness and acceleration. He takes some tough shots, whatever. A low release. We've seen guys make shots with unconventional releases. The pick and roll playmaking, you don't love to see. It's not advanced yet, but he's 19. I don't know. I like him a lot. I don't think he falls at all. But if the Bucks took Maxey, I would like that pick. I don't think he's like, I think Bane is probably better year one, but if you can get, and Kyle Lowry is like pie in the sky for anybody at this point. Kyle Lowry is a really, really good NBA player. But if you can get even close to that, that's a tremendous pick at 24.
Yeah, no, I think it would be a great pick at 24. That actually sort of leads into my next pick.
Ooh.
That I have. I guess I'm just trying to make a transition out of here.
I've been there.
Uprocks, which I don't really go to for my mock drafts, but here we are. no offense. They have Theo Maledot out of France.
Oh.
Ooh. What's that?
You go. You start on. I think it's Teo. You start on Teo.
Okay. Yeah. That shows how much. I guess.
I'm guessing that from like 3 years of French in high school and college.
Yeah. Who knows? If someone correct me, if you know the correct answer is, like, please. Like, I enjoy being corrected in these sort of things. So you're getting like you're trying to get a dynamic ball handler, right? So you just want to get someone who's a good passer shooter when you're trying to get out of like a pick and roll or just anything off the dribble. You can, yeah, he'll do what you want to in that regard. It's just you're not getting a lot of sort of pressure at the rim. You're sort of getting more mid-range game out of him, which I don't know what that means for him in Milwaukee. We can debate that. But it's just, I don't know. It feels like just like a, this pick sort of feels, it feels like a basic point guard pick. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, it's like I'm not thrilled about it. I think I'd rather see, I don't know, I just, like, some of the stuff with him is, I feel like I see it, and sometimes, I feel like it's almost a day-to-day thing with me. I would say this pick would excite me a lot less than most of the other guys we've talked about, sans Paku. You know, maybe. It's not a bad gamble. I feel like I don't know that much about him, but I also feel like that's kind of the case with almost everybody in this draft. I'm a little worried that he could have a rough year one that would kind of color some people's opinions on him, but I don't know. I wouldn't hate it. I certainly wouldn't hate it. It's just, it feels like one of those like kind of low floor, but potentially high ceiling picks.
Yeah. And it's almost like the floor, I was about to say the ceiling is the roof. Shout out Jordan. like the floor is sort of, I don't know how else to describe it besides league average point guard. Not obviously, I'm not saying like as a floor he would be a league average point guard. I'm saying as in terms of like a skill set. You're not getting like anything super flashy or exciting.
I mean, that's not terrible.
No, that's not bad. It's just there's no shades of insane upside.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm trying to think of a really good comp. The Ringer ones are always just like insane.
Kirk Heinrich.
That's yeah, okay. It's like, what is that? And like Nate McMillan, who I feel like was actually pretty good.
I do not know anything about Nate McMillan as a player.
I could be wrong. I didn't. Okay, he's 6'5". You know what? I'm kind of. You might have talked me into Maladin.
I don't feel like I did much of.
Why is he so low? Why is he so low? I can't.
Just
like, why is Isaiah Stewart one ahead of him on this big board?
I don't know. KOC, come on the pod.
Yeah, come on, KOC. Let's go, KOC. I think KOC might be busy this time of year. But who knows? I wouldn't hate it.
I think it's a lack of information thing.
Yeah, I do too. I guess the
also
one
his
concern...
numbers just don't jump off the page. 7.3 points, 2.7 assists in France.
I guess like the one concern too, the one scenario where he's not like a league average point guard with his skills after a year or two, is if the athleticism really catches up to him.
Yeah,
that's the that's the difficult thing with playing, you know, somewhere in France as opposed to like the USA. What did you say?
Like the NBA.
Yeah.
That's what everyone was worried about with Luka, but just Luka's a generational player. Aladdin's not.
I think this is a little bit of a lazy comp just because they're both French point guards, but like, is there some Frankie Smokes here? I think Frankie's
there's
a lot
of
way.
I thought I was convinced you were going to say Tony Parker.
Oh, no. Frank Ntilikina is who I'm referring to. I think Ntilikina is a lot better defensively.
Yes.
it seems like Maladin's a better offense. If you merge them, it'd probably be a really good player. I don't know. I don't have a hot take on this one. I think about that often. Like, there's some guys who are just complete opposites. Tony Snell plus DeMar DeRozan is an MVP. There is like a harrowing glimpse into how my brain works. And like, if you ever see me just like sitting and kind of looking off into the distance sometimes, I don't know why you podcast listener would see this, but if you do, something like that is probably what's going on. Like, man, imagine if Tony Snell was DeMar DeRozan on offense, but still shot like Tony Snell. That's a hell of a player. It's kind of like Chris Middleton.
Oh, I'm tweeting that as a teaser.
Please do. So I don't have any more mock drafts, but I do. The Ringer today, I think Dan Devine and who else was it? Dan Devine and somebody. Rob Mahoney.
Yeah.
Yeah, two very smart people did a friendly suggestions on who the Bucks should take based on their needs. And it wasn't like extended write-ups, but it's just three names. I'm just going to lob out there. I don't know a ton about any of them, but I have some takes. Aaron Nesmith, I think is how it's pronounced. Naismith Malachi Flynn and Tyrell Terry.
Okay.
I think Terry is probably the most controversial of the three.
Why do you say that?
Because, like, I think people look at him one of two ways. Either he is, like, probably Seth Curry, or, like, you just look at the frame, like, he's very small. He's not going to be a great defender. Like, do you either look at the – basically, look at the offense of Seth Curry or the defense of Seth Curry and figure out how you feel about him based on maybe how you feel about Seth Curry.
So, basically, you're saying the Bucks should sign Seth Curry. Or that trade for Seth. Too. Trade for Seth Curry. Excuse me.
Might be difficult right now. But I actually – I kind of like him. I just feel like he's or like in a really good off-ball mover. His shooting touch is tremendous.
You're just looking for dynamism, honestly.
Yeah, like I think there's like I, there's a lot of value in just having some – like a skill that you know is probably – is going to translate. Like, and it's probably going to be like plus at it. You're not just going to be able to do it. And I think like with this guy – like, you know you're getting a very good shooter. And there's, like, always value in that. Like, and, you know, is he going to get bullied sometimes on defense? Maybe. But if he's going to be that kind of, like, dynamic off and on ball shooter, it might just be worth it. Especially if you can work on that defense. And, again, cover for that defense with Giannis and probably Brook Lopez.
Yeah, no, for sure. The first name you mentioned, Aaron Nesmith. I don't think it's Nesmith. He kind of reminds me of... this is going to sound bad. He kind of reminds me of Jaylen Brown.
Oh, wow. You like him.
Okay. A little bit. In terms of like, okay, let me say rookie Jaylen Brown, not current Jaylen Brown.
The third comp is taller Buddy Hield, which is just like a wild.
It's just you're getting someone who can play team defense. Who will be in the right spots. You're sort of getting someone who can, you know, catch and shoot off the dribble, but also like consistently drive to the rim. Well, apparently he has trouble finishing, but he can get there, and that's something that can be developed and worked on. But just like the ability to, you know, get to the rim in addition to that, like high-end shooting ability, it's just, I don't know. That reminds me of like rookie Jaylen Brown.
I do think you could pretty easily talk me into Nesmith over Terry. Just like
the possibility of a dual threat wing just intrigues me so much.
And one who is like 6'6" with a 6'10" wingspan, like very comfortably the size to play three. Like you're totally fine with playing. And if the defense gets there, but like physically.
Like he's not the fastest guy, but he's also like big.
Yeah. And I like that it seems like he's not one of these guys who, some of these guys are hard to project because you're like, this guy seems like he would be a good 3-and-D wing, but on whatever, you know, crappy college team, he had to play like he's freaking Trae Young. Like, it seems like he's more comfortable doing that kind of stuff already, which is good, even though he's just at Vandy. But, yeah, I don't know. I like all three of these guys that were named here.
I don't think Nesmith's going to fall to Milwaukee.
Probably not. KOC has him at 19 on the big board. KOC has Tyrell Terry at 8 on the big board.
Oh my goodness.
KOC's positivity, I think, shines through. And so KOC is probably the most relentlessly positive NBA analyst you could find. And I think like he sees the upside of a guy like Tyrell Terry. And I feel like he's just like, this guy might be 9/10 of Steph Curry, which I don't think he is, but he could be.
He's got, he's got Poku above Cole Anthony.
Yeah, that's something.
It's just, I don't know. He knows more than I do. I'll say that. Way more.
Yeah, certainly.
He's got Avdija below Killian Hayes. I mean, sorry, above Wiseman.
The real hot take here, I think, based on what I've seen, and this, I actually should have noted this a while ago. He hasn't updated the big board since 10/27, although I doubt much has changed. This
that
is
was
a
like
big
a
board,
week and a half ago.
Yeah, it just feels in 2020. It's like 3 months, Rohan. Come on.
Yeah, but like nothing, no real new information.
No, yeah, that's I totally
unless
got,
you like, unless you're getting that Marquise Chris rise. Do you remember that?
Well, yeah, the same thing happened with Don.
Yeah, just like it never works.
No, it doesn't. Always fear the late riser. Speaking of, one interesting thing about KOC's board, one guy a lot of people are high on, Patrick Williams. KOC has him modestly at 16.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
I think there's something there. like, I think 16 is a fine place to have him. I think some of the talk of him really sticking up to the top is crazy. Maybe it's not, though, in this draft, because really, like, there's some of these guys we're talking about in, like, the 20s here where I'm like, I kind of want that guy more than LaMelo Ball.
Really? Like who?
No, I don't want to put it. I don't want to. No, don't
say it. You got to say it.
I'll just say this.
You're going to give me a name, Ty.
You kind of sold me on Nesmith.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
I'm out on LaMelo. And I'm kind of out on Edwards too. Like,
Edwards doesn't really intrigue me that much.
It's just like both of them, I feel like, are just so hot and cold, and I just don't trust that you're going to get close to the top. Like, they both have the talent to be really good in an ideal world. We don't live in an ideal world, clearly, based on everything, waves, hands. But even in basketball, we don't live in an ideal world. And I just think, like, I don't really care for the way LaMelo played. I know in Australia he'd certainly gotten better, but so much of his – and this isn't all his fault by any means. Never lost. But he's played, like, garbage basketball for a significant amount of what we have to go on for him as a prospect. Like, I don't care about the games where he takes 40 shots. Like, I don't learn anything from that. I don't trust his jumper. I don't trust him on defense. I don't really trust that he's going to put in the work to be a good defender, even though he does have the physicality to do it. Certainly, like, a great passer, for sure.
No, it's but, great passer is probably underrating it.
Yeah, even better than Lonzo passer.
Yeah. Just insane fun. Vision.
Yeah, like, what if Rondo was bad at defense his whole career? Is it that exciting of a player? Not really, to me.
That's a little harsh.
Is it?
I think so. Rondo never really had the off-the-dribble sort of offensive work that LaMelo has.
LaMelo's got good touch. He's a great defender, though. Rondo is a great defender that made up for it. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. No, obviously. That goes without saying. Yeah, Rondo, phenomenal defender in his prime. Yeah. But just LaMelo, in terms of his offensive potential, along with a skill as a point guard that usually takes so much time to develop, is already there. Like, the shooting, shooting usually improves when you're talking about point guards when they reach the NBA. Shooting, shot, like, shot selection is definitely going to improve, because, like, that sort of, like, 40 shot and half court stuff is not going to fly in the NBA.
He wasn't doing that in Australia, in fairness. We'll see if shots, we'll see where he goes if shot selection improves.
It's gonna improve regardless. There's no chance, like, that it doesn't. It's just, I don't
take LaMelo Ball over Nesmith, to be clear. I was being facetious.
Okay.
But I am not high on LaMelo Ball.
I'm kind of feeling it. Yeah, I feel like he could be LaMelo. Really good. Yeah.
You're all in on the Ball family. You're working to get, like, a clip from this pod of you talking on Ball in the Family someday. I see the
video. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that was their Facebook show, wasn't it?
Am I that out of the loop again?
Wow, I thought you'd be all up on it. Yeah, they had a Facebook show. It was amazing.
That, you know what? Now that you say it, it does sound familiar.
Yeah, there were clips from it of
LaVar. I don't know. It's just like, no. He seems like a good player. I guess I am it. All in on the Ball family.
You are. You're all in on the Ball family. You're going to come next week and go, you know what? If there is a Hurd season, you know who the Hurd should get? D'Angelo Ball. No, Rohan, that's where we draw the line. This man is hitting the side of the backboard in workouts.
Yeah, it's just, if that ever happens, you know I'm in too deep.
I know you're getting the checks, and I'll be happy for you.
Do I need to disclose that?
No, just as long as the checks hit the account, you're good.
Okay, I just love that. Just another thing on LaMelo. KOC has shades of Jason Williams and Sean Livingston.
Like,
that's just amazing to me. Just both of those players. If you want to talk, like, opposites.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried.
Jason Williams plus Sean Livingston would be an MVP.
Yeah, I think so. I think it probably still wouldn't be that great of a shooter, but everything else would be amazing. And for mid-range, he would be. Edwards, I'm concerned about as well.
Okay, what?
Like, what does he do well as an NBA player?
That's what I was wondering. I felt like maybe is that too stupid of a question to ask?
I think he's got a good handle and, like, he's strong, but, like, so is Justin Anderson. You could just sign Justin Anderson and draft somebody. Like, I don't know. He's got potential, but it's just, I think even more than Ball with Edwards, I'm like, if you get that top 10th percentile, you probably have a couple All-Stars, but I don't love the chance. And I know he had a very rough background, and I get that. I've heard a lot about that, especially on this last low post. Not to hold it against him, but you have to kind of be cold when you're evaluating these prospects. And I'm just worried that, like, he hasn't shown that he's, like, a great engaged on or off-ball defender. He has not shot well at all. I don't know. I think he just bullied a lot of college kids to put up a lot of points. I don't think that's going to translate. He doesn't have, like, insane physicals. I don't know. Yeah.
At least LaMelo is really good at creating his own shot.
Well, yeah, like, I don't know if I'd say really good, but LaMelo is amazing at creating other people's shots. Like
he can create his own shot consistently.
Yes. Yeah, he'll take the shots. Yeah, for sure. But, like, even if it was just the one thing, right? Even if you were bullish on LaMelo being able to be
also
a shot maker,
Taller than Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, and longer. 6'7" with a 6'10" wingspan for LaMelo.
As a lead guard versus Edwards, who mainly plays off.
Well, it's just like LaMelo has one skill that even I, as a harsh LaMelo skeptic, will give you, like, probably going to be a transcendent NBA player, as is his vision, his passing. Edwards doesn't have that, so I just feel like I think it's crazy that he's considered for one. I don't know. I don't think I would really take him top five, which, again, it's just like, I think it's so tough because, like, you just get, like, these lists pounded into you for this one for more than a year, and it just sounds like you're just being a wild contrarian to say that, but, like, these other players up near the top, I see a much clearer vision to them helping me win games than I do with Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, that's fair. I think
Wiseman.
You're what?
I'm eh on Wiseman. No, go ahead on Edwards.
No, just, yeah, the last thing on Edwards. It feels like he needs a lot of help around him offensively.
Yeah, like, if, like, somehow he goes to the Spurs.
Or the Warriors.
Like, the Warriors, too. I don't think they'll take him. I think they really like Wiseman. But I guess if Wiseman goes one, then it'd be interesting.
Yeah, it looks like LaMelo is going to go number one, though.
I think so.
Okay, so James Wiseman, eh?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mild-mannered Rasheed Wallace.
That's just like, or high-energy. High-energy Hassan Whiteside is like...
an MVP.
10-time All-Star. If he's healthy. I mean, that's like an amazing player. I mean, Hassan Whiteside, the stuff he does well, he's really, really good at. I think Hollinger's model has him as the highest-paid center by far. And it's like a crazy deal.
Hollinger's model was amazing.
Hollinger's model's on crack, to be clear. All due respect to Stephen A. Smith for borrowing his line. But Wiseman, like, my thing with Wiseman, he could be a generational big. We just have so little to go on that I'm skeptical. Like, what, one college game?
Yeah, through no real fault of his own, but...
No, I mean, NCAA is crazy.
Yeah.
Let the guy, whatever. I don't want to even get into it. I don't know. But my other thing, too, is I don't think he projects to be, like, a kind of defender who can, like, go to the perimeter and defend. I've seen some really rough defensive clips from the games he has played. And it's just like, you have to be so, so good on offense as a center to not be at least a very good defender. Like, if you look at the best centers.
Yeah, it's the Obi Toppin dilemma.
Yeah, basically. Like, you look at the best centers in the league, if you're not, like, literally Jokic or Towns on offense, you pretty much have to be, like, a top five defensive talent to be considered an elite center, right?
Yeah.
Am I missing anyone?
No.
Like, Embiid is tremendous both ways. I think Bam has now probably played his way in the conversation. He's maybe the best defensive five in the league if you count, like, his switching.
Ah, that's still Embiid.
Probably, yeah. But again, Embiid is, like, probably top two rim protector around the rim up there with everybody. And Anthony Davis, who I just forgot, can do literally everything. I don't know. It's just like,
but he's not a five, Ty. Remember.
What?
He's not a five. Ask him.
Ah, yeah. I don't know. Wiseman could be good. I would feel more comfortable with Wiseman than Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, Wiseman Ball is kind of a toss up.
I don't know. I feel like for me it goes Ball, Wiseman, Edwards. Those three.
I have 1/2 and 3 the same as you. I don't know. I'm low on Toppin.
He's too small to be a 5, which is what he really should be.
I don't think he'll defend any position well.
No.
Like, I think he'll put up 17 points and 9 rebounds a game and win Rookie of the Year, but I don't think he's going to help your
Bouncy
team win
Marcus
a ton of
Morris.
Games. You say Marcus Morris? That's, I don't hate that comp. It's better than the damn Amari Stoudemire comp that keep, like, get out of here with that one, I think. That's a little much.
Yeah, like, prime Amari is just insane.
Yeah.
But, just, I guess, in terms of, like, skill set, and you're stretching out a little bit more. Cause,
yeah,
like,
he can shoot a bit.
Yeah, he can shoot pretty well. Like, not just, like...
Yeah, not just a bit.
Yeah, no, like, he's a good shooter. It's just, can you translate that into direct line drives to the basket? Or are you going to get stuck sort of in that in-between?
Best case, John Collins.
Okay. He's going to take some PEDs.
I mean, hey, if it works, it works. I don't get the Killian Hayes appeal to put him at 1.
I don't know either.
Like, there's stuff there, but is he really that much better at Maladin than Much?
I think it's more of an athleticism thing too.
Yeah.
But it's both not great.
I really think, like, if he goes top 5, he's got to, like, buy Luka Doncic a couple dinners. Because I feel like, and I did this at 1.2 of, like, maybe he's not the greatest athlete. Like, these were the same things that Luka got hit with, and it just didn't matter because he's just so smart and crafty. But by no means is Hayes that kind of a initiator or anything like that. And none of these prospects
Let's hope Killian falls to, what is it, 7 for our guy Laz?
Yeah, Laz Jackson, who covers the Pistons, wants him so bad. Best wishes to you on getting him, Laz.
Hopefully.
Do you have any other draft takes?
I honestly don't know, because this is just such a weird draft. Like, I'm not a big draft guy, if you can't tell. But
it's the same.
It's just, this just seems weird. Maybe it's just 2020 things, but this is just a weird draft.
Yeah, it is.
Like, we're not knowing until a week before the draft who most teams are feeling a number one.
Yeah, and that really speaks to, like, none of, like,
or at least, like, there's in previous drafts where it's like you don't know whether it's, let's say, what was that, 2017, Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram. At least there was a clear 1-2.
And it wasn't like we have to pick one of these guys. It was like, oh, which one do we take?
Yeah.
A little bit different.
Like, even last year, like, clear Zion, but then Zion Ja is obvious 1-2.
Yeah. Or Fultz. Fultz was an obvious
number
one.
Yeah, Fultz was obvious number one.
Tatum was right up there as well. And Luka should have been too. Luka was everyone.
Luka was an obvious number one, just teams were dumb.
I don't know if you could find a much more obvious case for a prospect than the one Luka presented, but I'll ask.
I love how everyone on, like, I won't say everyone, I'll say smart people on NBA Twitter are just like, maybe this guy who's shown that he's really good is really good, and then teams are just like, nah.
Nah,
can't be true.
Slow.
Can't be true.
Big, wasn't as much of a snub, but big, like, Tom Brady didn't, like, box jump enough vibes, or, like, who cares about that? Like, what? Like, sometimes,
but did,
like,
he do it against the Shockers?
Yeah. Could Luka do it against Dayton? One thing I find interesting as a quick Bucks perspective, then we're done with draft guys, just because we're just throwing out names and just saying stuff now. Devin Vassell gets Chris Middleton comps, and I don't know enough to know how legit they are. But
that I love him. If he has Chris Middleton come.
Super. His three shades of guys, and it's not just KOC who's on the Middleton thing, but Chris Middleton, Robert Covington, Matisse Thybulle.
Ooh.
Sounds like whoever, and maybe it's all smoke, but it sounds like whoever ends up with Vassell, currently 7 on KOC's big board, Sounds like you're going to get a pretty good player.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, probably. Or at least you get someone who's going to be high. Oh, in his picture, he's wearing Freak Ones.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Bucks, go get it. Go get it done.
Yeah. I had a friend who went to Florida State. I don't know what that means, but...
You got the connections. Reach out. Get to Vassal. Tell him to tank his draft stock.
Sure.
That's... We're playing the system.
Yep. That... Yeah.
Let's talk about pizza.
Yes, we did tease this on the last episode. Deep dive on pizza. I'm not really sure where we're going to go with this. But...
So I think we already kind of covered that we both modify our frozens yes. last time.
Okay, I guess we could take it like the same direction we did last week with sandwiches in terms of where do you go if you're trying to just get one?
So actually let's start with like peak frozen pizzas.
Oh, okay, you want
to
do that.
Like we know what we do to them, but like which ones are you reaching for?
Sure.
I'm a big home run in guy.
Home run in? Okay.
I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, and I get that. I really enjoy it. Like it's such a different flavor than most frozen Zaz, but and they don't have as many like varieties, at least at Oshkosh supermarkets, which is unfortunate. But big home run in guy. I like Jack's. Jack's is fine. Jack's is like my low tier for me. Like if they're on sale for $2.50, I'll grab a Jack's. Lots of matzo is one that lately I've had a big. I've been feeling
Wait, what
the
is
vibes.
This?
Lots of matzah.
I feel like I've seen... Is that the mustache logo?
No, I think that's like... maybe? I didn't know. Is that... I don't know. I think there's a lot of those in the pizza world.
It's fair.
But no, it's just called lots of matzah. And it has like... It sounds like it would just be like a cheese-covered mess. But the flavor is actually really good on the lots. I would recommend the lots of matzah.
Okay, I've never had it.
I'd check it out if you haven't. What frozen Zaz are you grabbing?
So, honestly, probably like a classic Red Baron.
Oh, Red Baron's good. I was so worried for some reason you're going to be an Orbs guy.
No.
I won't do it anymore. I had him a couple times in college. Listen, I could just find free cardboard and eat it if I wanted that.
Jax is okay. Jax is
for
all
me. It's like the McDonald's. Like it's like the
That's a great way to put it, honestly.
Like the floor that I'll go for. Like the price is that good and it's right here in front of me and it's a flavor. And I think they have a veggie pizza, if I'm not mistaken.
I think.
Not a ton of the like widespread brands do. Theirs is solid. So it's like, yeah, sure. What, $2.75? You got me.
It just feels like a Jax feels like a weird like a how do I put this into words without describing an image? you had a little too much stuff and you're just chilling out on a Friday in college, sort of.
A little too much stuff. Stuff. What the hell is Rohan on?
And yeah, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
You know, yeah. It's a layup pizza.
Yeah.
You're not like, let me have a good, enjoyable meal. You're like, my day is a mess.
I have Jack's pizza.
I need this like disc of pizza to be ready soon for a very low price. And
yes.
It'll be fine.
Yes, that is a perfect summation.
That's the Jack's pizza.
Yeah. Solid
Red
price.
Red Baron's good though. I like Red Baron. Yeah, really good price.
Yeah, so frozen pizza, I'd say, you know, can't really go wrong with anything that we said. In terms of like chain normal pizza, where you go basically Pizza Hut or Domino's, or are you like a Little Caesars guy?
I don't do Little Caesars anymore.
Okay,
out on Little Caesars. Let's just go through them one by one, honestly, because I don't know if I have a favorite.
I definitely do.
Okay. Oh, that'll be interesting. So, what is it? Little Caesars?
No, it's Domino's.
I like Domino's.
Domino's is just, you can't go wrong with it. Anything they do is just, it's good. It's fine. Like, there's no problems with it. I feel like Little Caesars is just, ugh. I don't know how else to describe
it. It's not good enough anymore. It's, again, in college, I would eat it at $5 hot and ready. Now, honestly, I would rather just have, for less than that or the same price, I'll just get a frozen pizza and make it. Like, I'm on top of things enough to manage that now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we're grown.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, we pretend. But yeah, Little Caesars I'm out on. Domino's is fine. Pizza Hut's like that is sort of in between. Like it's good. Like it's fine. It's just it can sometimes have its imperfections, like, oh, it's a little too oily and stuff. Or yeah, it's just like it doesn't have the proper flavor. It's just, I don't know. It's sort of an in-between for me. Like I'll definitely enjoy it if it's there, but it's not gonna be something I seek out.
I think both places are fine. I will say I like all the options you get at Domino's. Like, there's a lot of side stuff at Domino's. Like, I think last time I got, like, a fast casual, whatever you want to call it, pizza place pizza, like that. I think I was able to add, like, a whatever piece of garlic knots for, like, $3. And I was like, word? Like, so it was, like, $10 or something before all the other fees for a sizable pizza and garlic knots. Yeah. I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Domino's, you can get a large three topping carryout, $7.99 anytime you want.
That was the deal. I'm almost, so it was like $11 for the garlic knots and that pizza.
You can't, like, you whoa, can't go wrong with that. Like a large three topping for $7.99. Domino's, like, call us up.
You're feeding two people and probably leftovers depending on the day.
Yes.
And how American you are. But there's good value there. Pizza Hut has good pizzas. Pizza Hut's veggie pizza for me hits better than the Domino's one. Pizza Hut has good vegetables.
It does. I will say that. It definitely does.
A buddy known as Bromigo in my circles and I in college, when we wanted to do quote unquote health food when we watched basketball together, we'd get the large Pizza Hut veggie pizza. Probably some wings in there sometimes and Bud Light Platinums. That was our health food. Ooh, watching the game.
Going for the Platinum, okay.
Bud Light Platinum, like a straight up good beer. A straight up good
beer. Honestly, this is not the beer episode. I don't know
if I've had it. Might have to do a beer episode soon.
We might.
This might be the last food episode, actually.
Nah, it's not.
Okay. maybe at least till the season starts. Maybe even farther. We'll figure it out. Yes, we'll figure it out as we go. But yeah. I don't hate Papa John's. I know this is a take. I know
I do.
Papa John himself stinks.
Yes, that is true, but his pizza's also bad.
I think it's fine. I kind of like the doughiness of it. I know I'm a sicko. Like that internet meme of like sickos. Yes. That's me watching Papa John's make my pizza. Very affordable pizzas too.
Like,
see, they got me hooked in college because they'd have like $5 large coupons.
I know, that's the problem. Like, they put them right on college campuses.
Oh yeah, so like they get you addicted, and it's like a gateway to more Papa. The Papadilla sucks though. I will say that.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like some sort of a calzone panini thing they introduced.
What the hell?
Do not buy a Papadilla.
I'm not. Yeah, I don't go to Papa John's. It's just so don't have to worry about that, but just I don't know, I haven't, it's just too dry.
The garlic sauce is good,
yeah, but it's also like I feel like the garlic sauce across all of these places is relatively the same.
Well, with Papa's you get one thrown in.
That's fair. That's the free aspect of it is great.
The Papa's is kind of like the Jacks of like to go pizzas for me. It's like,
you
the
know what?
That tier.
Is, that's great. That's a great comparison right there.
Yeah. How do you feel about like the take and like Papa Murphy's like take and bake stuff?
If I do that, I'll just get a frozen pizza.
Yeah. I was super into it when I was like 15. I was like, this is incredible. And then like, they're good. They're not that good. And they're not that cheap either.
No,
and
they're not. Like frozen pizza is so much cheaper and you could just, it's the same concept.
Right, and it's like they get like, I'm sure they would, Papa Murphy's would argue like, oh, we're 20% healthier than Red Baron / Home Run. Like, sure, like you're still not healthy. It's still not a salad. Like, I'm going for pizza.
You're still not a salad.
Like, it's, I made my choice. I'm eating pizza.
Yeah,
I'm clearly not out for this meal. Like, what is the peak meal to get me looking like Giannis in 1 year? That's not my thought process. I just want to watch Giannis.
What pizza is going to be good for me watching Giannis?
And that is the one that makes me feel good inside, even better than watching Giannis does. It's like a combination. So yeah, we agree on Papa Murphy's. No thanks.
Yeah, no thanks. Just like we were talking last week, we can customize our own frozen pizzas. We don't need to go to a store to do that.
False dichotomy. One thing I want to add. Penzi's Spices. Do you frequent Penzi's Spices?
I don't frequent it. I've been there though.
That's probably most people's relationship with Penzi's Spices. They have a pizza seasoning.
They do? Okay.
Elite. Yeah. For like meant for frozen pizzas.
Ooh.
So like you basically, you just reach in the little jar, and I get the tall one now. I'm actually out. I need to get to my Penzies. I think my closest one is in Appleton. But you just like, you grab a generous pinch and you drizzle it over before you toss it in the oven, and it just adds a delectable flavor. Ooh. Would recommend. At least get the small jar and try it.
Okay. I might have to do that. That sounds sounds really good.
It's a big, like, it's noticeable. Like, we started to put it on other things too. Like, it's a good.
Yeah, why not?
I think I put it on a hot sandwich once. Ooh. And I was like, oh.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I might have to try that. Do you frequent any like restaurants for pizza in terms of like their actual like I'm a big brick oven pizza guy.
I don't know that there's good pizza places in Oshkosh. I don't know how many of them are brick oven per se.
Like Italian style.
I have not had as much of that kind of pizza. I knew in high school, I went to someone, shout out my guy Seb, who was from, like, his parents, or one of his parents, from Italy, and they made me real Italian pizza. It's kind of a lot for me, but I had a more Americanized palate, a less tolerant palate back then.
Yeah, it's just perfect ratios all around. It's completely different. Like,
a lot less cheese, right?
Yeah, it's a lot different less cheese. It's different, and it's just, they're not, like, equatable. In the sense, like, you can't compare, like, Domino's to an Italian pizza. Like, they're like, completely different species. It's just, I don't know. They get their ratios down. It's like the dough is a lot thinner. Like, the base is a lot thinner. There's, like, a better sauce ratio plus, like, more types of cheese. And it's, like, different types of cheese. Like, not American-style shredded cheese and stuff.
Well, they'll have, like, the pate of, like, the thicker white cheese, right?
Yes.
Sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah, like instead of shredded mozzarella, it'll be, like, mozzarella, like section. Like, an, like... Like a floating iceberg of mozzarella.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Floating iceberg. goodness. And then the Titanic is my mouth.
there you go. Quick, hard-hitting, fast-hitting question. Thin crust or thicker crust?
Thicker.
Yeah, same.
Like, thin crust is fine, but if I'm going thin crust, I'm going Italian pizza.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine with like the frozens and stuff. I prefer a little cushion.
Yeah, you gotta have a little bit there.
We're, give me thick with three C's, not four C's, but three C's.
Yes, yeah. Not thick. Two C's. You don't want it to be fake.
No.
Gotta be three.
Not one C. That's Orv's. Okay, we're ridiculous.
And on that note, I feel like we can wrap it up here on this episode of the Eurostep.
Here
on the Blue Wire Podcast Network, we've had elite quotes today. The Titanic is my mouth. Tony Snell plus DeMar DeRozan is an MVP. Just one C is Orbs. Just if you're not leaving a rating and subscribing based on these quotes alone, I don't know what you're doing. But even if you're not, just for the actual good content that we hopefully, you know, deliver to you in terms of draft content. If you did like it, you know, leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice, making sure you're checking out all of the content across the entire Blue Wire Podcast Network. And also, don't forget, make sure you're telling your family and friends and just like, you know, general acquaintances, maybe someone you meet on the street, and you know, tell them about the Eurostep. Make sure you're socially distanced, wearing your mask though. And yeah, just make sure you're spreading the good word about all of our shows. Hopefully we will be with you after the actual NBA draft next Wednesday, which is insane that there's actually going to be like the draft this soon. The NBA is coming back, people, and we're going to be here to deliver great content. But until then, stay safe, everyone, and we will talk to you then.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day.
Save $50 on each four-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour four-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.